very Bjorkman-like strike there. I didn't mean to hit that hard. It's now 1:31 on Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, in Belts 105. Members present are Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Bjorkman, and myself, Chair Dunbar. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones. Before we begin, I would like to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Recording Secretary, and Lisa Denny from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. For today's agenda, we will take up amendments, look to the will of committee, and take action on both SB 23 by Senator Gray Jackson and SB 63 by Senator Kawasaki. I should recognize that our colleague Senator Kawasaki is in the room with us today. Before we begin, do any committee members have questions? Okay. So we'll start with SB 23. To recap, we had an initial hearing on SB 23 by Senator Gray Jackson on March 9, 2023. We have received one amendment and some additional documents which have been distributed to the committee members and uploaded to BASIS. Before we proceed, would the sponsor of the bill like to offer any additional comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is it time for me to move the amendment?
I was going to do that next.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let the record reflect we've been joined by Senator Giesel. Do any of the other members have questions for the sponsors of SB 23 before we get to the amendment? I'm not seeing any. So, Senator Gray Jackson, would you please move your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one to Senate Bill 23.
I will object for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this amendment was offered and then welcomed by the Department of Public Safety. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask you to invite Lisa from the Department of Public Safety to explain what the amendment does. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Ms. Purinton, would you like to join us up front? I'm sorry, is it director or what is your title?
Bureau
Chief Purinton. Could you please address the amendment?
For the record, Lisa Purinton, Alaska Department of Public Safety. I'm the Criminal Records and Identification Bureau Chief. We met with Senator Gray Jackson and her staff to discuss some challenges with the bill as it relates to the reporting requirements for some of the agencies that were referenced in the bill. And so we had made a suggested amendment for consideration for her staff, which they welcomed, and that's kind of the outline for the amendment. Not sure.
Could you maybe go into a little bit more detail of what exactly the amendment does? It's a longer amendment. So
it is. So with the amendment on page one, line five, it's adding the definition of pretrial officers to the definition for parole officer.
Okay.
And then on that same page one, line 10, it is if you'll follow the occurrence there where it's talking about correctional officer, parole officer, municipal correctional officer, after the parole officer, it's inserting the term adding pretrial officers, again, just to add that conforming language to incorporate the pretrial officers, which was something that is fairly new with the Department of Corrections in the last couple of years, that it hasn't been updated in statute for those particular officers. Same thing on line page one, lines 12 through 13. One of the things working with the Alaska Police Standards Council was the question on the use deadly force or prepared to use deadly force. One of the concerns was how to define prepared deadly force, because that is most officers, when they prepare and in a uniform, they're armed and are prepared to use deadly force on a daily basis. So that was kind of vague, and so we wanted to keep that to the statutory definition of deadly force, which does incorporate that in those events. Page two, line two, was again conforming language to add pretrial officers in that definition of that string of officers, inserting that term after the term parole officers. Page 2, line 30, because of the amendment is adding an additional paragraph. It's just making the plural from paragraph to paragraphs. Page 2, line 31 was deleting the, sorry, I'm trying to switch around here, so I'm following along as well. Was deleting the term deadly force in there and inserting, because that term is already referenced in statute, and it was adding two new subsections to include the definition, again, closing the loop on the pretrial officers for the Department of Corrections, and it was adding the definition for serious physical injury and referencing it back to statute. And same thing, it was adding a new section 12 for the use of force, and that is basically making sure that the state of Alaska's definition of use of force conforms with what the Federal Bureau of Investigation's definition of is for use of force, so that we can compare apples to apples with the use of force definitions, so that we're not showing when we're reporting the use of force incidents by our officers and we're reporting to the national programs that we're comparing apples to apples. And so that's where that definition was added. Page 3, line 30 was just a legal suggestion on changing the name of that heading from use of force reporting requirement to reporting requirement for use of force. Page 4, line 1 was one of the things since this bill was introduced last session and prior, the Department of Public Safety through federal grants was able to obtain a module to add to our current uniform crime reporting collection program to capture use of force incidents. So we deployed that in January that is currently in effect. And with that module, it gives agencies the option to report directly to the Department of Public Safety or directly to the FBI, because there's no state law requiring this reporting. And so by the department having this option, for agencies that have opted in to report to us, we use the same exact reporting requirements that the FBI has, and then we just forward that data on to the FBI on behalf of the agency. It just allows for one-stop shopping for the agencies to utilize that service, because they're already logging into our application to report their crime data. And so with that, you'll see several of the changes on here are to change the reporting requirement from directly to the FBI to the Department of Public Safety. And this allows us to bridge the gap for some of the agencies that are listed in this bill for reporting, specifically the Department of Corrections. The Department of Corrections do not fall within the scope of the officer definitions with the National Use of Force Program by the FBI. So requiring the Department of Corrections to report to the FBI is not something that we could do, because the FBI would not accept the data. And so by changing it from reporting to the FBI to the Department of Public Safety, it allows us to meet the intention of the bill sponsor to capture that data if and when there's an event by the Department of Corrections personnel by reporting it to the state, because we can capture more data and allow for a broader scope of reporting for those officers. Page 4, line 2, legal's requirement was to change the definition or change the wording for uses force against a person to engages in the use of force as defined by the changes in this bill. Same thing with page 4, line 3. Again, because we're adding new subsections, it's adding the plural for that definition. Page 4, line 4, again, changing from reporting to the FBI to reporting to the Department of Public Safety. Page 4, line 5, again, adding the conforming language with pretrial officers to make sure that they are covered in the scope of this bill. Page 4, line 6, again, just a legal change from uses force against a person to engages in the use of force as defined by 1865-290. Adding clarifying language on page 4, following line 6, is to reference the department, because you have multiple departments that are referenced in this bill, and this just adds clarification that the department, as referenced in this subsection, is referencing the Department of Corrections. Page 4, line 8, again, that legal change for uses force against a person to engages in the use of force as defined by 1865-290. Page 4, lines 12 through 17, is replacing the current section in there with this language that outlines the reporting requirements to report to the Department of Public Safety these use of force incidents. And
that's it. Thank you, Ms. Purinton. Appreciate it. Any questions for Ms. Purinton about this amendment? Ms. Gray Jackson. I'm sorry, Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any questions, but I just want to take a moment to publicly thank Lisa and the Department of Public Safety for recognizing the importance of this bill and for working with me and my staff to improve delivery of this proposed bill. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other further discussion about this amendment? Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, ma'am, for your explanation of the amendment. The underlying bill, does the Department of Public Safety have a position on the underlying bill?
Through the chair to Senator Bjorkman, the department is neutral. The department is currently reporting it, the data, to the FBI, and they have been reporting pretty much since the program started a couple years ago. We have several agencies across the state are currently voluntarily participating, and so that's where we're neutral on this standpoint.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, I'd like to thank Senator Bjorkman for his question, but I also would like to say, yes, they are currently doing the reporting, but one of my biggest reasons for bringing a bill forward is because leadership changes, and when leadership changes, they can decide that they no longer want to do it, but if it's in state statutes, it will be there in perpetuity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Gray Jackson. With that, I will remove my objection to the amendment. Is there any further objection? Okay, seeing none, amendment number one is adopted. And that is the only amendment we have today. Do members have any final questions for the sponsor? Okay, seeing and hearing none, I would like to entertain a motion to move the bill from committee. Senator Giesel?
Mr. Chairman, a question first. I had noted that we left public testimony open. Did I miss the closure of that? I'm just asking.
I'll take a brief at ease. Back on the record, thank you, Senator Giesel noted that we had not closed public testimony on this bill. So at this time, I'm open to, is there anyone in the room who would like to testify? Or I guess I would open public testimony on this bill, see if anyone would like to testify on it. Not seeing anyone in the room. Is there anyone online who would like to testify? Okay. I guess I didn't need to open public testimony. It was already open. Okay, so now we will close public testimony. All right, and now I will entertain a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 23, Work Order 33LS0230/A as an alpha from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Are there any objections? All right, seeing none, this passes from committee, and we will take a brief at ease. We're going to come back on the record, and actually we're going to start with SB 63 now, and we will sign both at the end of committee if we move on 63. So We've moved on now to SB 63, and to recap, we had an initial hearing on February 23rd. Some committee members had additional questions and requested written follow-up. Those documents were distributed to members yesterday and have been uploaded to BASIS. We have not received any amendments for the bill. It is my intent to look to the will of the committee and take action on the bill. Before we proceed, would the sponsor like to offer any additional comments?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. For the record, Scott Kawasaki, Senator for District P in Fairbanks, Fort Wainwright, and Badger. Yeah, there were several questions at the last meeting regarding the private right of action. There is a injunctive relief. There's a three-page memo from Claire Radford, Legislative Counsel at the Legislative Legal, addressing those issues. I don't know if you need me to read it or I can sort of overview it.
I believe it's been distributed to the committee members. Okay. If you want to overview it, you can.
Well, I'll just say that the short answer for whether there's a private right of action for an individual officer is that the short answer is no. The cause of action would be the order, the proclamation, the regulation, the ordinance, and that would apply to the person who made the order or proclamation. Secondly, it does mention treble damages versus injunctive relief. Treble damages isn't used as often, but it is in statute and has been is defined in law. And that's really just a policy call for the committee or for the next committee referral to.
Okay. So are there any further questions from members of the committee? And Ms. Singh, we did close public testimony on this one or not? We did. Okay. That's what I believe. All right. Well, at this time, then, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 63, Work Order 33, LS0425-A-alpha, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note. I see only one note. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Are there any objections? Seeing none, that bill moves from committee, and we'll take a brief at ease to sign the report. go back on the record. So those were the two items of business we had today. We will meet again on Thursday, March 23rd, and take action on SB 77. Amendments are due to my office by 5 p.m. tomorrow, March 22nd. The time is 1:53, and this hearing, the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee, is now adjourned.